from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to fall.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Walter Lewis, age 31 at the time of this interview.
I grew up in Baltimore County, so I'm from an area called Pikesville. It's like right outside of West Baltimore. When I was born, it was me, my mom, my dad, my cousin and her two kids when I was first born. And so, like, I grew up in a house full of people. And I just remember, like, really bonding with my cousins. So they were, like, my brothers and my sister, right? And then we moved, and then my other aunt and her two sons moved in with us. So until I was probably, like, I guess 8 or 9, I just had people in my house constantly. So I'm technically an only child, but I didn't really realize it or feel it until I was about 8 or 9. And even after that, because we were so close, my cousins were always at the house. I was always at their house. And so I grew up really close to them. But I've also been fortunate at every stage of my life to have a good group of people I could call real friends, right? Like, that looked out for me. Like, I remember one time as a kid, I was going to the store and I had my little cousin with me. And I see my cousin walk into the store and he's bloody, like, got blood running down his face, bruises everywhere, like, his back is, like, cut up, and I'm like, what's happening? So somebody jumped my cousin. And I'm mad because my cousin, he's, like, a, you know, good guy. Like, he doesn't cause anybody problems. He's not, you know, some people, like, out there always starting trouble, like, arguing with people. My cousin's not that guy. And so I'm mad, right? And I'm like, all right, well, we're going to go get them or whatever, right? So I remember when they told me, like, nah, you stay home because, and I'm like, no, I'm coming. They were like, all right, well, we'll call you. But they never had any intention for me to come. And I think what my friends did for me was they allowed me to be successful. They had always told me, like, hey, you're going to make it. You're going to go to college. You're going to do this. And they allowed me to do that. And opportunities like that, they would push me to do more, right? Like, tell me to stay in school. Or if I was trying to not go to class or something like that, they would push me in the right direction. And that was my friends, not just, like, adults in my life. And so I think that was really impactful for me. I used to see stuff and know that things were kind of messed up. I didn't understand why. I think in high school, somebody gave me the book, The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. And I read that. And I didn't fully understand it when I was in high school. Because it wasn't like a school book. Somebody just gave it to me, right? But then I read it again, probably when I was a freshman in college. And then that's when it clicked. Like, wait, he wrote this when? And why does a lot of the things that he wrote about, why is a lot of that stuff still true today in our schools? We could see evidence of it in our schools. So why hasn't stuff changed, right? And so then it started opening my eyes to the injustice around the education system and a lot of the other systems in society. And I think that's when I started figuring out that, okay, this is what I really want to be about. And so while I was studying computer science in school, I was always passionate about the community. So my whole education from undergrad to graduate school was always, yeah, I'm in school studying this computer science stuff and I'm doing computational biology, I'm doing research, and I like that, but it was always split. I was always split because I was trying to do that stuff and I liked it, but I was always trying to do community work. I was always trying to do things around education and young people and community building and that sort of thing. And it wasn't until I got to the Homewood Children's Village where I got the opportunity to do it full time. So I don't have to split anymore. I'd give all my energy to this. So currently I'm the president and CEO of the Homewood Children's Village. I think every day I wake up and try to do everything that I can do to be a part of the transformation of Homewood and surrounding communities. And I was talking about, like, having that village around you, that circle. And so we can use the word family. I know a lot of people, family means different things. Some of us have had better experiences than others with our family. But I think we have to, like, transform the way we think about that word. Family doesn't just mean mom and dad and kids, right? Family is who you have. Who is yours? We all have one. right? We all got somebody, and that's our family. Like, there's people in my family that they're not my blood relatives. I call them family. Like, my daughter, it was funny, she shocked me one day. I said something to her, I'm like, something about your brother. And she was like, which one? Now, I only have one biological son, so I'm trying to figure out who she's talking about. But then I realized there's, like, some young people from the neighborhood who are always at my house. A lot of people out here are suffering and hurting because we tell people family is the whole, you know, mom, dad, and kids. That's great in a sense, but only because there's a village. There's multiple people supporting that unit and that child. As an individual, success is thinking about the future and the next generation. Right now, as a father of four, success is creating a life for my children so that they can have a better life than I had and go on and do greater things. But I think more broadly, I think about other generations of young people in the community, in the city, and throughout the country and the world. Like, what kind of a world are we leaving for the future generations that are to come? And I've had experiences in my past where you do something and you think that it's great, but then you stop doing it and it goes away. Well, how successful were you really, right? If it all depended on you and you couldn't pass it on, right? Because none of us are going to live for forever. We don't know how long we're going to be here. And so success is only really the value of what you're able to pass on to the next person, right? The next man, the next woman, the next generation. You know, I'm not one of those people that need a whole bunch of money or a whole bunch of anything. It's just thinking about how do we set the future up for success.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Devin McGinnister and Dana Morris. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at slbradio.org.